To Jeremiah chapter 10. Jeremiah chapter 10. Andrew, I don't know if this is proper English or not. The title is, What's Your God Like? What's your God like? Is that proper English? Okay, I've been known to butcher the English before. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity that's ours to be here tonight. And already our hearts have been united in singing praise unto you. And as we turn to this portion of your word, I pray, Lord, that that praise and honor and glory would be continued. I pray that you would fill me with your spirit, that you would put in my mouth that which honors you and keep me from saying what you don't want said. We thank you, Lord, that you're here. We know that because it only takes two or three gathered together in your name, and you're there in the midst. And so we pray, Lord, we would honor you as you are among us as we turn to your word now in your name. Amen. Well, in Psalm 96, verse 8a, the psalmist says, Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Well, what a passage of scripture. And I trust that as we look at this evening, your heart will be filled with praise and glory and honor to your Lord. And as we have asked that title question, what's your God like? We hope that we can answer it as we look at the 16 verses, the first 16 verses of Jeremiah chapter 10. I'd like you to notice, first of all, that our God is unique. Unique. What's that mean? Just like everybody else? Just like everything else? One of a kind. He's different. And that's good. We're going to start at the first verse, and we'll call your attention to his uniqueness when we get to verses 6 and 7. But follow along as I start at verse 1. Hear ye the word which the Lord speaketh unto you, O house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them. Does anybody have any idea what the Lord is talking about in verse 2? What could he be referring to when he says, be not dismayed at the signs of heaven? Huh? Zodiac and astrology. The interest in the signs, that's what the heavens are interested in. Heavens, that's what the heathen, it was an H word, wrong one. That's what the heathen are interested in. The signs of the zodiac. Well, what's wrong? We find that, sadly, so many people, their lives are directed by what? The signs They get up in the morning. And what do? They check their horoscope or they check the sign. I was wanting to do this today, but you know, it says today is not a good day to make this kind of a decision. And so I'm sorry, I can't do that. Don't get caught up in that malarkey. You say, well, that's your opinion. No, it's God's direction to us in verse 2. As he speaks to his people, this was the word to the house of Israel, God's people of old. They're still his people of the future, but today, as children of God, he would speak to us that same message. Let the foolish, unsaved, if they want to follow that stuff, pray for them. They need the Lord. That's not from the Lord. That's the powers of darkness at work there. So, notice in verse 3. For the customs of the people are vain or of no value. For one cutteth a tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workmen with the axe. They deck it with silver and gold. They fasten it with nails and with hammers, that it move not. They are upright as the palm tree, but guess what? They speak not. What has the workman done with that tree that he's cut down? What has he formed? What has he fashioned? Pardon? An idol. Some see a Christmas tree in this. I don't see that. That's not what the Lord is talking about here. We don't worship a Christmas tree. This is an object of worship. They put the silver and all kind of stuff, the gold and everything, and there you've got it. Well, this is our God. What can it do? They're upright, verse 5, as the palm tree, but they speak not. They must needs be born. Well, that means carried, because they cannot go. And then he says in verse 5, you don't have to be afraid of them. They cannot do evil, neither also is it in them to do good. And you know, the sad thing of it is, we hear the stories of the missionaries, and they come and they tell us of taking the gospel to peoples that have, for generations, they have been steeped in idol worship. And the fear that is entrenched in the hearts of these people. And sadly, because there is such a close connection between the powers of darkness and idolatry, sadly, there are spiritual powers of darkness oftentimes connected with these things. Should you be afraid of them as God's people? What's Jeremiah this say? You don't need to be afraid of them. They cannot do evil, neither is it in them to do good. Now, what's our first point? What's our God like? What's the word? He is, come on, unique. Look at verse 6 and 7. For as much as there is none like unto thee, O Lord, you are great, and thy name is great in might. Who would not fear thee, O King of nations? For to you doth it pertain For as much as among all the wise men of the nations and in all their kingdoms, there is none like unto thee. You are incomparable. You say, I'm not so sure. Let's take a quick look at the book of Isaiah, another prophet. Turn back with me to Isaiah 42. You say, well, that's just, you know, that was Jeremiah's idea. Okay, let's look at Isaiah 42, verse 8. Listen, when the Lord said, I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Look at Isaiah 43, 10, the last part of it, and verse 11. It says this, I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. Look at Isaiah 44, the end of verse 6. I am the first and the last. Beside me there is no God. Look at the end of verse 8. Is there a God beside me? Yea, I know there is no God. I know not any. Look at 46, verse 5 and 9. To whom will you liken me and make me equal that and compare me that we may be alike? Look at verse 9. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Have any of you ever had plans made and something came up and canceled those plans? You weren't able to do them. Of course. Did you hear just what God said? I have declared the end from the beginning, from ancient times, those things that have not yet done, and my counsel shall stand. I've spoken, I will bring it to pass, I've purposed it, and guess what? Nobody's going to be able to stop me. I will do what I've said I will do. Now, does that sound like an incomparable, unique God? Does it surprise us that Jeremiah said in verse 6 and 7, there is none like unto you, O Lord. You are great. There's none like you. Well, that's not the only thing that Jeremiah tells us about our God as we ask this question. What is your God like? Not only is he unique, but we see that he is true and he is living. Look at verse 10. But the Lord is the true God. He is the living God and an everlasting King, or King of eternity. At his wrath, the earth shall tremble and the nations shall not be able to abide his indignation. Do you remember what we read about the gods of the heathen in verse 5? They're upright as the palm tree, but they speak not. Somebody has to carry them around because they cannot do anything. But what about our God? He's the living God. He's the true God. And we find that nobody will be able to abide his indignation in verse 10. We find in Psalm 115, these words. Let me turn to it in verses 4 through 7. Why don't you just write down, and then you can have them as I give you these references. It says, their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. And they have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not, neither speak they through their throat. I love the next verse. You know what the next verse, verse 8, says? They that make them are like them. So is everyone that trusteth in them. Tell that to an idol worshiper. You know, the sad thing of it is there are so many people, even in our day, that worship idols. It's a very popular religion. And idols are a very big part of it. What's God say about that? He says, look, they've got all these features, and they're worthless. And he said, the people that make them are just like those idols, and so are the people that trust them or worship them. In Isaiah 46, verses 6 and 7, we have some other pictures about God. And it tells us this. It says, they lavish gold out of the bag and weigh silver in the balance, and they hire a goldsmith, and he maketh it a god. They fall down, yea, they worship. They bear him upon the shoulder. They carry him and set him in his place, and he standeth from his place. Shall not be, let's see, and he standeth from his place, shall he not remove or move? Yea, one shall cry unto him, yet he cannot answer, nor save him out of his trouble. And yet, by the millions, people cry out to those images which cannot hear or save or do anything. Only God. God, what was our text? Our God is the true God. He is the living God. These man-made things are not. They are dead. They are worthless. True God. Remember God's people in the days of Elijah. They didn't know what the true God was. And when Elijah told Ahab to get your prophets up on Mount Carmel, we'll have a contest. And the true God will show himself as true by lighting a sacrifice on fire. Surely a God could do that, right? And Elijah had that contest. And what was the results? The prophets of Baal, for most of the day, they danced around, they cried out, O Baal, hear us, O Baal, hear us. They had their idol all, they had their altar all set up. They had wood. They had laid the sacrificial, they had slain it, had it laying there upon the altar. Oh, Baal, hear us. Come on, show us. And the whole contest was the true God will light the fire and burn up the sacrifice. And when the day was almost done, Elijah said, enough. And we know what he did. He built the altar, made it a very difficult challenge because he poured barrels of water on the altar, had a trench around it. And it filled the trench with water. And in a very simple prayer in 1 Kings chapter 18, Elijah just said, Lord, basically, if you read between the lines, Lord, your people are confused. They don't know who the true God is anymore. Would you just show them that you are the true God? Fire came from heaven. Not only did it burn the animal, it burned the wood, it burned the stones, it burned water, which does not burn right away. But all there was an empty trench where all of those things had once stood. And the people cried out, "The Lord, He is God." Well, that's what Jeremiah is trying to get his people to see. The Lord is the true God. He is the living God. Once again, Isaiah 45, 22 and 23. I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return, that unto me, God is saying, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear. Surely shall one say, in the Lord have I righteousness and strength. Even to him shall men come, and all that are incensed against him shall be ashamed. Isaiah 46, 10 and 11. We already read that, where God declares the end from the beginning. And he says, my counsel shall stand, and nothing will interfere with it. Well, our God, what's your God like? He is unique. And he is the living God. He is the true God. Let's go back to Jeremiah chapter 10, and let's notice something else he is. Notice in verse 12 and 13, he that made the earth by his power, he hath established the world by his wisdom, and hath stretched out the heavens by his discretion. When he uttereth his voice, there is a multitude of waters in the heavens, and he causeth the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He maketh lightnings with rain. He bringeth forth the wind out of his treasures. What is our God like? He is powerful. He is unique. He is true. He is living. He is powerful. And we see Jeremiah speak of it. Once again, the prophet Isaiah, chapter 42, verse 5. Thus saith God the Lord. How powerful is he? That Lord, that God, created the heavens, and he stretched them out. He that spread forth the earth, and that which cometh out of it. How powerful is he? It says, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it, and spirit to them that walk therein. I thought we came from some little slimy thing that squiggled out of some creek somewhere. That's what the evolutionists tell us, isn't it? This just all was a big bang, and it's just all an accident. And no. Our God is powerful. Don't get caught up in that malarkey. God is the one that created it. Where do you get the breath that you are breathing from, beloved? Isaiah chapter 42, verse 5. To whom do you owe your breath? To God. To whom do you owe the spirit that is within you, makes you a living person? God. Isaiah 42, verse 5. Look at 45, verse 18. Isaiah 45, 18, we see this. Thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it, he hath established it, he created it not in vain or without purpose. He formed it to be what? Inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. You know what, beloved? I am amazed at modern man. He keeps shooting off these space mobiles and things like this, and missiles and rockets, and they keep hoping that they're going to find evidence that there is life on some other planet. I look at them and I think, and you have all kinds of degrees attached to your name? There's one planet that God formed, created to be inhabited. Do you know what it's called? Earth. Earth. Isn't that an amazing thing? Isn't it? Just think of the millions and billions of money these scientists could save. You're not going to find life out there. God's created a place for life, and it's right here on earth. Isaiah 45, verse 18. Hebrews 11, 3, one last reference as we think about our God being a powerful God. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. It tells us, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made out of things which do appear. You say, how can you believe? How can you be sure? By faith. That's how we can say, I don't have to believe in that monkey business about how that we evolved from monkeys. I believe that what it tells me in the beginning, God created. And on the sixth day, God took that earth and he created man, he formed man, and he breathed into man the breath of life. And he saw that it was not good that man would be alone, and so he put man to sleep. And he took a rib from Adam's side, and he created the woman, the perfect helpmeet for Adam, and brought her to Adam. We didn't come from monkeys, beloved. We came from the all-powerful, true, and living, unique God. You know, there's one other thing that we see as we turn to Scripture. We've seen it. It sure sounds like Jeremiah is describing it. But for this one, we turn to John chapter 1. And that fourth description of our God is, he's a personal God. A personal God. A God that is involved with every individual. Jot down Psalm 139, where it tells how personally God is involved with each and every individual. God is a personal God. He can be known. Do you know him? John 1:10, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world recognized or knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man. You know how salvation comes about. It's of God. And that's how we can know him. Wow, what a God. What a God. Do you see now why, as I realized what God was doing in preparation for what I intended to share with you, what a fitting song that we sat there with our hymn books open and we sang, "All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name." What a God. I hope he's yours. Let's stand and close in prayer, shall we? Thank you, Father, for this little glimpse this evening of your greatness, your majesty, your might. Perhaps in the minds of some, they might think, wow, you just looked at so many verses. We haven't begun to really magnify and exalt and put the finger on the things that you have revealed to us about yourself in your everlasting word. I thank you for just these few things that we could look at. What a wonderful picture the prophet Jeremiah gave of you, Lord, our God. May these truths stick with us as we go to our homes, as we go through this week and the days to follow. We ask this in your name and for your glory. Amen. You are